Welcome to the fourth class of the Christian Life and Witness course. I hope that you've made all the classes, that they've been a real blessing to you. Remember, our first class was on the effective Christian life. The second one was on the balanced Christian life. The third one was on the Christian's witness. And today we'll be covering the subject of follow-up. But before we do, how many of you actually shared the steps to peace with God with someone this past week? Hold your hands up so that we can see. Anybody here would like to give a word of testimony? If so, let me suggest you shut the tape recorder off and have a testimony meeting. Undoubtedly, it's been a real blessing and encouragement to your lives. Tell you a little secret. I never have yet known anyone who wrote their own personal testimony out in 125 words or less that God didn't give them the opportunity to share it. You know, you can share a 125-word testimony pretty quick. Doesn't take much time, and nearly anybody will give you that much time. And this is something which you have which is unique. No one else has your testimony. Therefore, if you don't share your testimony, it just won't be shared. There will be a link missing. It's a fantastic wedge which God has given us to open up the soul of a man to receive the gospel. Because you see, when you share your testimony, there are just really three positions that a man can take. One, that you're demented and should be put away in an institution. Number two, that you're a liar and that he doesn't believe what you're saying. Or number three, that it happened in your life just exactly the way you said it did. And since most of us don't look too crazy, and people are a little hesitant to call us liars, we do get their attention by telling them what the Lord Jesus Christ has meant in our own lives. Well, I hope you have your materials tonight. You should have a Bible study entitled Follow Up. It's Lesson 4 in your Christian Life and Witness course. You should have a little booklet entitled Counseling and Follow-Up Procedures for the Christian Life and Witness course. You should have a little booklet that's sort of orangish or red on the outside, which says Knowing Christ. And we'll be looking at these as we go along tonight. Well, first of all, what is follow-up? Follow-up is parental care for spiritual babes. How many of you here tonight are mothers? Let me see your hands. Well, I imagine that when you brought your baby home from the hospital, you didn't put the little tyke in the kitchen and say to him, well, here it is, son, there's the icebox. It's all yours. Help yourself. Get whatever you want. That's sort of silly, isn't it? But yet we treat spiritual babies the same way. We say to them, shift for yourself. You're on your own. God bless you. Be warmed and filled and go on your way. But spiritual babes need feeding and care to nourish the new life. Now, there are some reasons for follow-up. First, because spiritual children will be born into the kingdom of God as a result of these film showings. In John 1:12 it says, but as many as received him, talking about Christ, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And there will be spiritual children born into the kingdom of God because of these film showings. Secondly, spiritual children need to grow. In 2 Peter 3:18, we are admonished, but grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Third, spiritual children need individual parental care. In 1 Thessalonians 2:11, the New English Bible translates it this way, as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, we dealt with you one by one, the NEB says, as a father deals with his children. And they do need individual care. How would you feel if you went into a doctor's office one day, found yourself in the waiting room with perhaps 8 or 10 other people? The doctor would pop out of his room and say, well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see you. We're happy to have you with us. Nurse, pass around aspirin to everybody. Now, you wouldn't be very happy about that, would you? Because you want a little individual attention and a little individual care. And spiritual children, spiritual babies, need the individual parental care. You know, God planned this pretty good. He even gave little baby chickens mama hens to scratch for them. And so these new babes that will be born into the kingdom of God need us as the spiritual mother hens to look after them and help them. There are at least three areas that they need help in, maybe more. But these three, one, they need help in feeding. In 1 Peter 2:2 it says, "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby." And God in His economy has so ordained it that the Bible is the food for our soul, just like He's provided physical food for our bodies. The second thing these spiritual babes need is protection. In 1 Peter 5:8 it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And believe me, he'll be going about attempting to snatch the word of God from the hearts of these babes, attempting to discourage them, attempting to lure them away from the walk of Christ, and they need protection. Third, they need training. In Colossians 2, verses 6 and 7, it says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Notice, "and established in the faith as ye have been taught." So these new babes in Christ need to be trained. Well, then the next question would logically follow. If follow-up is important, there are reasons why we should do it, then how do we do it? Well, there are several ways which we might suggest. First, by personal contact through an interested counselor. Secondly, visits by a minister. Third, by correspondence. And let me explain briefly that the Knowing Christ packet which you have contains within it two Bible studies, which are the first two of a 6-lesson correspondence Bible study course. And we trust that by correspondence, some follow-up can be done. A fourth way of follow-up is through Bible study groups. Much of what's happening across the world today, and particularly in our country, in the way of dynamic and vital, life-changing encounters with God, is taking place in the context of these small Bible study groups, or koinonia groups, or discussion groups, or prayer cells. There are all kinds of names for them. But scattered across our country, there are people getting together who are praying together, sharing their lives together, studying the Word of God together, reaching out in love to others together. And through these, tremendous impact is being made, and people are growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Let me encourage you to start and continue some Bible study groups in this community under the sponsorship of the churches, both to help new Christians to get grounded in the Word of God, and to help older Christians to learn more of the Lord Jesus Christ and to fellowship in Him. Now, this Bible discussion group materials are available. There's some new materials that were developed, first of all, by the Graham Association in England, used in both crusades there. They've been used in the Kansas City Crusade, Portland, Pittsburgh, San Antone, and are now being used in the New York City Crusade. And these are available from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. If you're interested, let me suggest that you write and get a set and look it over. Another way by correspondence that these folks will be followed up, they'll receive a copy of Dr. Graham's book, Peace with God, and a letter from Dr. Graham's Minneapolis office. And also they'll receive a complimentary 1-year subscription to Decision Magazine, which if you're not familiar with, you should become familiar with. It's one of the truly great publications in evangelical Christianity today. And all these means are good and excellent, but the real secret to follow up is personal concern and involvement. Follow up basically is not done by materials, but is done by people. And people will only do the follow up as they have the heart, which Paul pointed out was his heart. You know, he was great on follow up. I suppose he was really the inventor in a way, because you see that wherever he went, he had a heart for the people and said, "Let's go back and see how they do." And he went back time and again, following up, encouraging them, establishing them in the faith, seeing that they were mature in Christ, completing them. But listen to his heart in Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. He said, my little children, I actually suffer birth pangs over and over again until the fullness of Christ is formed in you. And then if you have your Bibles, let's look at 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Turn in your Bible, please, to 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. All right, have you found it there? 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. Paul said, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because you were dear unto us. You notice that Paul's heart was such that he was willing not only to have preached the gospel to them, not only the good news of Christ, but was willing to have imparted unto them his own soul. You know, there needs not only to be a willingness to share the gospel, but a willingness to share the life. Dr. Graham has often said that decision is 5% and follow-up is 95%. So you see why we are stressing so stringently the necessity of follow-up. Well, perhaps you're asking, here I am, I'm an individual counselor, I intend to be at the movie, I intend to counsel. Now, what can I do? Let me suggest a thing or two. First of all, you can be with them. This principle, the with him principle, is illustrated in Mark 3, verses 14 and 15. If you have your Bibles, let's look at Mark 3, verse 14 and 15. Have you found it there? Mark 3, verse 14 and 15. Jesus was choosing the 12, and listen. In verse 14, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Notice what the first basis of his call was to his men. He ordained 12 that they should be with him. Do you notice it there? That they should be with him. And this is the principle. There's no way that you can do an effective job of follow-up without being with them. The same thing was pointed out by Paul in Acts 20, verse 4. When you get a picture of his traveling seminary, it says, and there accompanied him into Asia Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia Tychicus and Trophimus. Here was Paul, traveling across the reaches of Asia and Asia Minor, carrying with him these seven men, a seven-man seminary, pouring his life into them, the with him principle. Then another thing you can do with the inquirer is to share with them some of the principles which you have learned during this course. You can share with them the illustration, the balanced Christian life. You can share with them how to take in the Word of God, the hand illustration, the five ways that we take in the Word of God. You can share with them the little booklet, Time Alone with God. Get them started in their own quiet time. Perhaps have a quiet time with them, a time or two, to teach them how to do it. You can take them with you on witnessing opportunities. And you can take them along, and as you talk to somebody, turn to them and say, all right, John, tell Bill what happened to you. You can ask them to give their own testimony. Just be friendly. Take time with them. Encourage them. I'll tell you what let's do now. Let's take a little break. And if you all will, stand up a minute. And we're going to review our verses. I bet you've gotten to the place where you really sort of enjoy doing this. We'll review the whole batch. Hadn't it been a blessing to you? Remember how we do it now. The topic, then the reference, then the verse, then the reference. Stay with me. Here we go on the first one. Man is sinful. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. The second one. Sin has a penalty. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. Now the third verse. Christ paid the penalty. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. Now the fourth one. Salvation, a free gift. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2:8-9. Now number five, Christ at the heart's door. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Six, we must receive him. John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. John 1:12. Isn't that good? Okay, now have a seat if you will. I bet you all thought that I'd forgotten the attendance slip again. Well, surprise, I really didn't. We're going to get to it in a minute. But first of all, let's take a look at our procedure booklet. You've got the counseling and follow-up procedures for the Billy Graham Christian Life and Witness course. Now, I'd like for you very carefully to read this, but bear in mind that this particular one was made for the Crusades. There are some things which do not apply, but most of them will apply. And if, after having read it, you have any questions, let me suggest that you get in touch with your counseling chairman and ask him for clarification. So you read this over carefully. It'll help you as you prepare to counsel at the film showing. Now let's take a look at our Knowing Christ packet. This is what you'll be using with the inquirers who come forward. And let's take a look at it. You notice when you open it up first, inside it says counseling card. Well, now I'll tell you what I want you to do with that counseling card. I want you to tear it out right now. Tear it out on the perforation. Get it started there and tear it out. We're going to use that as an attendance slip today. Perhaps in this course, for the first time, you have made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ. If so, we'd like for you to mark the acceptance box on the counseling card. We don't want anyone to check any decision that he's not made, but we'd like to help you confirm any decision that you have made. Perhaps in these weeks together, you have for the first time come to a real assurance of your position in Christ. If so, mark the little place there for assurance. Or perhaps you've just sort of been away from God and due to these classes have come back to a closer personal walk with Him. And you desire to acknowledge Christ as Lord. Really put Him first. If this is so, mark rededication. We're going to take time now while you fill out the counseling card as an attendance slip. And if you've not made a decision during the course, please fill out the card in order to register your attendance. Leave the decision boxes blank. We're going to take time now while you fill it out. Go ahead and take all the time you need. Notice while you're doing it that there are three parts to this counseling card. The top of it's what we'd like for you to hand in today. The two bottom parts are to be kept by you at the film showings. The top part is to be left at the theater with your counseling chairman. And then after you've done your follow-up, you've got your counselor's follow-up report, which you'll be asked to mail in to your counseling director or counseling chairman. And then the bottom part of the card is for you, for the counselor, to keep the name of the inquirer so that you can do further follow-up. All right, now, if you have those filled out, please pass them in, and the counseling director and his helpers will take them up. Well, let's take a few minutes now and look at this Knowing Christ packet. You've already seen the counseling card. You notice that there also is another little green card there at the front that has a place on the back of it for the counselor's name and address and phone number. Now, whenever you counsel someone at the theater, then be sure to put your name and address on this little card and your phone number. And then the other side of it is God's assurance, which is 1 John 5:11 and 12, which will be an assurance to the person that they have made the decision. They can carry it in their purse or pocketbook and should be an encouragement in their own lives. Then notice the Gospel of John, which is in the front. This is done from Living Letters, Living Gospels, done by Ken Taylor, and it's a very excellent translation. And we put it into the hands of the inquirer so they'll have it. Then behind the counseling card, you'll notice a letter from Dr. Graham to this inquirer. He encourages them to read the Word of God, to memorize Scripture, to start each day with prayer and have a quiet time, to tell others about Him, to be sure to have Christian fellowship. It's just sort of a little letter from him encouraging them in the first steps of their Christian life. Then you notice it says Bible Study 1, the Savior and Eternal Life, and then Bible Study 2, Promises in the Gospel of John. Now, both of these studies can be done from the Gospel of John. So the people have the Gospel of John, the inquirers, in their hand, and they have the Bible studies. You'll need to help them in getting started with their Bible study and encourage them when they have finished it, the first one, to take the envelope in the rear. If you'll look back there now on the back of your Knowing Christ packet, you'll find an envelope that's already addressed to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Encourage them to complete Bible study number 1, put it in the envelope and mail it to the Graham Association, where it will be carefully checked and graded and sent back to them. At the same time it is sent back, they will receive Bible studies number 3 and 4, which have to do with growing in Christ. And you can encourage the inquirer to be doing Bible study number 2 while he's waiting for number 1 to come back. And then following growing in Christ, if they complete that successfully, there will be 2 more studies sent back to them entitled Obeying Christ. And finally, when they complete those studies, there will be a study coming back entitled Sharing Christ. So this correspondence Bible course is available to them at no charge. Then you'll notice behind the 2 Bible studies, there's a little page entitled Promise of Salvation. Now, there are going to be 4 little expositions of Scripture here, and they will be dealing with the Scriptures in the rear of the Knowing Christ packet. If you look back there, you'll see that there are 4 verses on verse cards in the back. One of them is the promise of salvation. One is promise of victory over temptation. The 3rd one is promise of forgiveness. The 4th one is the promise of his presence. So you'll find that these 4 verse cards are back there. And then, up just behind your Bible study, the promise of salvation is a little exposition of the meaning of that first verse, John 3:16. And then the next one is promise of victory over temptation. You'll find a little exposition of 1 Corinthians 10:13. And then promise of forgiveness, an exposition on 1 John 1:9, and promise of his presence, a little exposition on Hebrews 13:5. And then lastly, you'll notice in the back of a pack, in the back of your little packet Knowing Christ, a little green cardboard pack entitled Promises from God. This is to be torn out, used as a verse pack for carrying the 4 little verses as the inquirer begins to hide the Word of God in his heart. Take this Knowing Christ packet home with you. Study it carefully yourself so that you will know what to tell the inquirer. And let me encourage you to do the Bible studies that are in it, to get on the correspondence course and finish up the Bible studies yourself in order that you may know exactly what the inquirers are going through and therefore can be a real help to them. Well, let's talk for a few minutes as we conclude today. And let me pause to thank you for your faithfulness, for the privilege that it's been to minister with you, and for giving me the opportunity of praying that God will take His Word, bless it to the lives of many, and multiply it. And I truly believe that this will happen because God is faithful to His Word. Well, let's talk about hindrances to follow up. First, a feeling of inadequacy. You know, this is common. People really are not equipped to follow up unless they have somewhat of a feeling of inadequacy. But remember, when you're leading a child up a staircase, you can only be one step ahead or you can't hold on to his hand. The same thing is true in follow up. And if you've been faithfully in this Christian Life and Witness course, you already have more tools available than many, many people who have known Christ for years. Another hindrance to follow up is people are afraid of the cost. I'll be honest with you. Follow up is costly. But as near as I can tell, the Christian life is not a life of ease. Don't find anywhere in the Bible where Jesus called us to join a brownie troop or simply to join up in a Sunday school picnic. As near as I can tell from the Scriptures, the Christian life is a warfare. And it costs something. Jesus said in John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit." You know, the corn of wheat really doesn't have a choice. It's put into the furrow to be covered up, and if it could say anything, it would probably cry out, "Wait a minute! You know, get me out of here! It's cold, and it's dark, and it's wet, and I'm going to die!" But the corn of wheat doesn't have the choice. So it simply is covered up and dies in order that life might come forth. But we do have the choice. We can hold back, save our lives, and not be reproductive as God intends us to be. You know, Jesus said in Mark 10:45, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many." How many today in the name of Christ are wanting to be ministered to instead of being willing to minister? You may have wondered why we have spent so much time in the Christian Life and Witness course on your own personal walk. We know that you're not equipped to counsel effectively until you yourself are walking daily with Christ. There's a poem that expresses it. "'Twas a sheep, not a lamb that went astray, in the parable Jesus told, a grown-up sheep that had gone astray from the 99 in the fold. Out on the hillside, out in the cold, 'twas a sheep that the good shepherd sought. And back to the fold, safe to the fold, 'twas a sheep the good shepherd brought. And why for the sheep should we earnestly long and so earnestly hope and pray? Because there is danger if they go wrong, they will lead the lambs astray. For the lambs will follow the sheep, you know, wherever the sheep may stray. When the sheep go wrong, it will not be long till the lambs are as wrong as they. And so with the sheep we earnestly plead for the sake of the lambs today. If the sheep are lost, what a terrible cost the lambs will have to pay." Yes, beloved, follow-up is costly. It'll cost you in personal involvement, but you'll be strengthened. It'll take your time, but it's an eternal investment. It'll cost you in hurt. You know, he died for you. Real honesty will expose your own weaknesses. But you know, when people know really what you are, you'll be set free from the previous limitations that they put on you. Well, a third hindrance to follow up is simply a lack of vision. We do not realize the potential and worth of one individual. Did you ever consider that the greatest explanation of a new birth was given to one man, Nicodemus? The revelation of himself as the Messiah was given to one woman at a well, and she was a woman of ill repute. And the scriptures indicate that Jesus Christ traveled across a lake to minister to one man, and he was a lunatic. Do you remember that? He traveled across the lake, and here came this Gadarene demoniac out of the caves, and they bound him with chains and fetters and couldn't hold him, and he was naked and he cut himself. Jesus ministered to him and says that when the people came and found the man that was possessed with the demon sitting and clothed and in his right mind, they were afraid and they asked Jesus to leave. You know, I've wondered where Jesus got those clothes. You know, he ministered to the man's whole need. He ministered to him mentally, emotionally. We know he did spiritually because the man said, you know, let me come go with you. He said, no, you go on back and tell people in your hometown what God's done for you. And he ministered to him physically. There he was, clothed and in his right mind. But as far as we know from Scripture, he got back in the boat and went back across the lake. Came across to minister to just one man. You know, Moses, the great prophet of God, ministered to the multitudes. But he really poured his life into one fella, Joshua. And when it came time for Moses to not go into the promised land, who was it that took the people? Well, it was Joshua, the man that Moses had invested his life in. Elijah was a great prophet of God. Spent much time prophesying in Israel. But you know, he poured his life into one old boy whose name was Elisha. And when it came time for Elijah to be caught up in the chariot of God, the mantle of Elijah fell upon Elisha. Jesus ministered to the multitudes, but he poured his life into 12 men. Paul traveled over most of Asia, investing in the lives of many and establishing churches. But as he went along, as we saw from Acts 20, verse 4, he was investing in the lives of individuals. Ministry to other individuals is the most costly, but the most effective ministry available to God's children today. You may not think that follow-up is important. Let me tell you what happened recently in Albuquerque, New Mexico. A man was teaching the Christian Life and Witness course, getting people ready for a film showing. And he just started the fourth class, which was on follow-up, when a man stood up and he said, I'd like to say something. And of course the teacher said, well, fine. You know, it's a little unusual, but, you know, help yourself. The man said, you may not think follow-up is important, but let me tell you a story. A year or so ago, The Restless Ones was here, and we had a daughter, precious girl, but she'd gotten in with the wrong crowd. She'd become rather wild, rebellious, breaking my heart and her mother's. But she went to see The Restless Ones as a lark, and when she saw it, God touched her heart. And for the first time in her life, she committed her life to Jesus. Well, she had a counselor who was a godly woman. And that counselor either visited my daughter or wrote her every week for 3 months. Well, 3 months after the showing, she was in an accident and God called her home. But when she died, she was no babe in Christ, because a faithful, godly counselor had stayed with her and taught her how to walk with Jesus. Don't tell me follow-up is not important. And then I wouldn't be teaching this course now if it weren't for the fact that there was one man who cared enough to take the time with me. Let me share it with you briefly. You remember I told you about the man who shared the wheel illustration, the balanced Christian life, with me? Well, this was the man who left town shortly thereafter with the team. Heard no more from him for a couple of months. Then one day I had a phone call, and the voice on the other end of the line said, this is Charlie Riggs. And I said, well, where are you, Charlie? He said, well, I'm in town. I'd like to see you. I said, are you by yourself? He said, no, my family's with me. I said, well, can we get together with them? Well, no, they have something else to do. Well, I found out what they had to do was to go to the cafeteria. So I picked him up, and as we were driving towards lunch, I knew that the man spent probably not more than 2.5 or 3 months a year at home. As we visited, I learned that he was on a vacation, had about a week, maybe 10 days. I knew where he was when he started. I knew where he was going, and knew that Oklahoma City was 200 miles out of the way. And finally I asked him, I said, Charlie, what are you doing here? He said, well, you know my job with the team, which at that time was looking after the counseling tent and seeing that the follow-up materials were mailed out at night. And he said, anybody can do that job. And if that's all the ministry I can have, I'd rather be home with my family. So I always pray before I go to a town that God would lead me to at least one man whose heart seems to be open to the things of God, with whom I can share some of the things I have learned on my pilgrimage of faith. And he said, you and one other man are the men in this city. I decided right then that that man would drive 200 miles out of the way, take one day out of a one-week vacation to come see me, I'd listen to what he had to say. And he's been faithful down through the years. He's written, he's visited, he's involved me in his ministry, and this opportunity of teaching the Christian Life and Witness course would not be mine if it had not been for the fact that Charlie Riggs had a heart for God and a heart for follow-up and a heart for me. And I thank God for him. I just heard recently of another instance of this type of investing in the life of an individual. Let me share it with you for what it might mean to your own hearts. A friend of mine, back when Chiang Kai-shek and his troops pulled off the mainland of Red China to Formosa, a friend of mine was asked to come and to minister to these men. The reason he was asked was because they were turning to Christ in unprecedented numbers, and they wanted to do a job of follow-up with them with a Bible correspondence course. So this friend of mine and one other friend went out there to Formosa and began to do the mechanics necessary to do the follow-up by Bible study correspondence course among these literally thousands and thousands of Chinese who were coming to Christ. Well, while they were in the process of that, which now must have been about 14 or 15 years ago, they were investing their lives in a few men. There were about six of them. Six of these men who were being ministered to by these two friends of mine at depth. They would pray with them, study the Word of God with them, share their lives with them, go with them to their friends and have them in and so forth. And so pretty soon, after a year or two, you know, the work was over and they were pulled out and scattered to the four winds. Well, just the other day, for the first time in 12 years, one of these men was privileged to go back to Formosa. And he gave me a report. He said, you remember David, with whom I had ministry? I said, yes. He said, he's been asked to take over the entire work in Formosa for a large interdenominational Christian group. He said, do you remember Timothy? I said, yes, I remember Timothy. He said, well, he now heads up the head. He is the head on Formosa of one of the large evangelical Christian churches, responsible for all of their work throughout the islands. And he said, do you remember? And he mentioned another man. I said, yes. He said, well, you know, he is heading up a work for the Far Eastern Broadcasting Company, responsible for 10 or 12 missionary couples. And I thought then, praise God, the investment that these two young men made in the lives of those Chinese back 12, 14, 15 years ago is now paying eternal dividends. Multiplication is more effective than addition. Let me illustrate. Up in Chicago, I believe it is, in the Natural Museum of Science, there's a problem on the board. And the problem is this. If you took a checkerboard and doubled, it started with a kernel of wheat on one square, and doubled the kernel of wheat from square to square, when you got to the last square, how much wheat would you have? Well, now, there are only 64 squares on a checkerboard. But if you started out and doubled it on the second square, and doubled that to 4 on the third square, and doubled that to 8 on the next one, when you got to the 64th square, there would be enough wheat to cover the continent of India 6 feet deep. You know, if you were given the privilege, or I was given the privilege, of preaching and having 5,000 persons receive Christ each year for 32 years, at the end of 32 years, there would be 160,000 who had come to Christ through our ministry. But just suppose that you reached one person, stayed with him for a year until he was capable of reaching another, and then the two of you were to go out and reach two and stay with them for a year until each were capable of reaching another. Well, you know, at the end of 2 years, there'd just be 4 of you. And at the end of 3 years, there'd just be 8. But if you and the others continued, at the end of 32 years, at the end of that time, there'd be almost 3 billion people reached. And beloved, that is the population of the world. That's the power of multiplication. Let me encourage you to take seriously this matter of follow-up. Take seriously the matter of investing your life in the lives of others. And in the film showing, God is going to bring many children into His family. And I pray that God will prepare your hearts and give you the parental concern necessary to give the care that these new babes need. Now let me remind you that follow-up is done by individuals, not simply by materials. It's true you'll have some materials to use. But the basis of follow-up and the effectiveness of follow-up depends upon you, the individual. Now your counseling director will give you the time and place of the class that will be held by the film representative on procedures. At that time, he will go into detail with you the physical showing at the film theater. Well, let me give you your home assignment as we wind up. If you look on your lesson to follow up, lesson 4, the home assignment, complete the Bible study. Complete the Bible studies in knowing Christ and mail in lesson 1. Now that's a good idea, isn't it? Commit to memory John 3:16, 1 Corinthians 10:13, 1 John 1:9, and Hebrews 13:5. These are the 4 verses in the back of the Knowing Christ packet. Remember the parable of the talents? Remember the man who took his and buried it? And Jesus said to him, "Why, you wretched servant," said, "take away from that old boy what he has and give it to the others." The men who took theirs and invested them and multiplied them, he said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of thy Lord." There's not a one of you here who are the same person they were when they came 4 weeks ago. God has made an investment in your life. You have greater responsibility. You have tools to work with. Let me ask you, what will you do with what God has given you? In closing, I'll share with you Isaiah 58, verses 10 through 12, which I trust you'll claim and put into practice as you walk with Christ in the years to come. Here's what it says. "And if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in." Shall we pray? Father, I pray for these who have completed the Christian Life and Witness course. And I pray, our God, that they might be available to you to use as parents for these children who you'll be bringing into your family and kingdom as a result of the film showing which is to come. Father, thank you for the privilege of ministering with them. And I pray, our God, that in a unique way they might see your power manifested through these films that many, many, many who are lost and without hope in God might find reality in Christ. And then, Lord, touch their own hearts, that they might be faithful in follow-up. Give them a father's heart, that they might want desperately to see these children walk in truth. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.